you know, you don't have to be that choosy to find a solid football game. Starting with the fact that we have three top 25 matchups, that is as many as the first 3 weeks combined, and it doesn't get any bigger than Georgia hosting Notre Dame, number three Georgia, seventh-ranked Notre Dame tomorrow night.
Good stat. I'm excited about Georgia-Notre Dame, Johnny. I kind of would be interested to get your read on that. Studying it on paper, and given Notre Dame's in the last few times we've seen them on a big stage, whether that was in South Bend 2 years ago or against Clemson in the playoff, I kind of think Georgia covers that 14-point spread, and I kind of think they make it a little ugly.
Well, I originally started thinking that, oh, this is a great game for the folks that were on Notre Dame's team last year. They were having to put up with the trash talking on social media from the Georgia players, so they were probably thinking, oh, can't wait. Can't wait to see them in 2019. And then I thought about it from the other perspective. You're going to have as many people outside the stadium as you are inside the stadium, because that's how hot this ticket would have been. They could have sold 200,000 tickets for this game. And these players, you know, forget about running their mouths or running their fingers on Twitter. This is a chance for them to allow their football play to speak for them. Notre Dame, I go back to 2012. I go back to last year. You brought up the loss in the college football playoff. When the stage gets big like this, it seems like Notre Dame lets down their fans, and in this case, I think tomorrow night is going to be on display. I mean, look, Georgia knew how close they were 2 years ago, and that was the coming out party, too, for Jake Fromm. That started that run in 2017. That's why somebody by the name of Jacob Eason is now out in Washington. So I bring this up. I just think this is a game that Georgia will win somewhere in the neighborhood of 17-21. Notre Dame maybe tried to stop Georgia as far as their running attack, but this isn't week one. You know, we are in the season to the point with all the time in the practice sessions. Fromm has certainly had the opportunity to develop some rapport with his young, talented receivers, and it may be not the running game, but actually the passing game for Georgia that does Notre Dame in.
Yeah, so Georgia's got those two true freshman receivers, George Pickens and Dominic Blaylock, who were, you know, elite recruits kind of doing what we thought they would. A few years ago, Notre Dame would have a line of scrimmage advantage over just about anybody. And 2 years ago, they had that offensive line with two first-round picks. I just think Georgia's going to maul them on both sides. And you're probably right, Johnny. Like, Notre Dame's path to a win here is taking away the run and making Jake Fromm beat them through the air. But Jake Fromm is certainly in this slot. He's a potential first-round pick. He's deadly accurate. I think he can do that. I think he can beat Notre Dame through the air. And unless Notre Dame's ripping off, you know, massive chunk plays that we're not really expecting, unless Ian Book is all of a sudden super accurate again. It's only been two games for Notre Dame this year, but he hasn't been very accurate at all, recovering around 60%. He wasn't good against Louisville in the week one opener. I just don't see them keeping up. And I think for Georgia, you mentioned the tweets about, oh, we should have been in the playoff. You mentioned, yeah, Georgia is the consensus number three team in the country, and I think Kirby Smart uses Saturday night to make a statement and an example that this isn't just an Alabama-Clemson year, guys. Like, Georgia is as good as any of those two. We wanted the discussion so much for a big two. We want it to be a big three. I think Georgia keeps its foot on the gas.
And the other part, too, Georgia's won 15 straight at home, so they've got that long winning streak working. But you go back to the line. I mean, I don't know what your size and weight is. I'm 5'9", 178. The Georgia line, they've got me by 8 inches as far as in height, and they also have me, on average, 160 pounds per person. I mean, think about that. Five linemen averaging 6'5", 300 and almost 29 pounds each.
Massive line. Saw Andrew Thomas at SEC Media Days. Massive dude. Best left tackle in football. And Notre Dame actually has a good defensive line. They might have two early round draft picks. Julian Okwara is great. So Georgia needs its offensive line. And Isaiah Wilson's probably going to be healthy. I think he's going to try to go to the right tackle. But even if he doesn't, they've got, you know, five-star Cade Mays back him up. Best offensive line in football. Elite running back. I maybe Notre Dame commits to taking away the run, but I don't know if they're going to be able to.
One of the other matchups involving top 25 is also flavored with SEC style, too. You have the Auburn Tigers, ranked 8th this week. Already they're looking for Gus Malzahn's replacement. I'll never understand that. And they're on the road taking on Texas A&M, ranked 17th. These are kind of games where, you know, and Gus, I had a chance for the one-on-one visit with Gus Malzahn back during SEC Media Days. And I could just see it in his eyes and hear it in his voice. He's very confident about his group. He's certainly loving being in this position, calling plays. And do I think that Auburn has kept some things under wraps until now, finally a real game for them? Absolutely, after the Oregon game. I think there's some few other things that they've developed since the Oregon win that's going to be on display for them against Texas A&M. This is, you know, everybody talks about how I wish we had an 18 playoff, right? And I say, no, keep it at 4. I don't want to see extra layers to the college football playoff. Because here's the thing. This game tomorrow, both of these teams, if they went out the rest of the way, whether it's Auburn or A&M, despite their one loss to Clemson, guess what? If you went out the rest of the way, you're going to be one of the 4 playoff teams if you're A&M or Auburn. This is an elimination game from that standpoint. So I don't know why we keep wanting 8 playoff teams when you have games like this that mean that much. Here we are in September. We still have another week of football next week in September, and yet this is an elimination game tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And for Notre Dame also against Georgia, that's also an elimination game. But, you know, back to this one, Auburn – I am surprised that they're 4-point underdogs. I know it's Kyle Field, but it's a day game, and I know it's a true freshman, Bo Nix, so, you know, he clearly can play up to any stage we'd ask him to. Auburn is so good on the offensive and the defensive lines. Kellen Mond has been so-so this year. Like, I saw him in person at Clemson. I didn't think he was very good. I think he completed 57% of his passes, wasn't a remote rushing threat. And I think that Auburn kind of defensively gets after him the same way Clemson does, because they have the pieces to do that. They can bring pressure in lots of different spots. And you're right, Gus Malzahn's probably got something up his sleeve. It's been almost a month now since we really saw Auburn in a primetime setting. You know, Bo Nix is getting more comfortable. He completed 12 of 16 passes in his last game. I think Auburn wins this one. And I think if Auburn wins this one, everyone should stop talking about Gus Malzahn's job. Because at 4-0, now you've beaten Oregon, and now you have a win over Texas A&M to kind of guarantee you like a top 3 SEC West finish. And I don't know how that can't be good enough for Auburn.
I picked Auburn to go 10-1 this year heading into the Iron Bowl. And for that to happen, it's a game like this that they have to have. And that's why I've got Auburn. I like them getting the points. But something tells me they're going to find a way to get it done tomorrow in College Station. Another big game tomorrow, Big Ten, and it's also a matchup where both teams are ranked in the top 25. How about 13th-ranked Wisconsin hosting 11th-ranked Michigan? Here's the thing. When you compare the numbers the regime with Paul Chryst with Wisconsin and comparing him to Jim Harbaugh, I mean, he's won more. He's got division titles. Jim Harbaugh doesn't have that. He's 4-0 in bowl games. He also needs one more win against a top 25 team to make his number at 500. He's 7-8 in those matchups. The only thing he doesn't have, he Jim Harbaugh has the advantage, winning 2 out of the 3 meetings under his direction. So to me, I look at the fact that also, I mean, this is only the 5th meeting since 2001 for Michigan in Wisconsin, but they haven't won there since 2001. They're 0-4. I don't think Michigan has lived up to their billing this year. They were supposed to be one of those teams in the college football playoff, and they may still get there. I love Jonathan Taylor. I like Wisconsin, and I like them to take care of business tomorrow.
I do, too. I think Michigan's in trouble here. Wisconsin hasn't been scored on yet. Best defense in the country. Against a Michigan offense, that hasn't been remotely the spread threat that we thought we were going to get. In fact, through 2 games, compared to last season, Johnny, they're down across the board in every single statistic. And even worse, they've already committed 5 turnovers. Shea Patterson has been a turnover machine. Last year, all season long, Michigan committed 11 turnovers. And to make it even worse, their only offensive bright spot has been a true freshman running back named Zach Charbonnet, and he might not play Saturday. His health is like this sort of mystery swirling around in Ann Arbor right now. So you've got no offensive punch against a defense that was going to be really stout anyway. And then Wisconsin, like, their quarterback, Jack Cohn, is being exactly who he needs to be. He's taking care of the football, and he's handing it off to Jonathan Taylor. Wisconsin wins, and this one's going to be a really sour one for Jim Harbaugh, because we're going to be 4 weeks in, and already the buzzards are going to be circling. And then meanwhile, over at Wisconsin, now you have to, if they win this game, you have to start factoring them into the college football playoff discussion as a dark horse, at least.
We look at a matchup tomorrow, number one ranked Clemson, and look, if I'm a fan of Clemson, this is one of those things that maybe that, like last year, when Clemson realized how good they were going to be in 2019, this is maybe where, if we had the commissioner czar of college football, I mean, you can be it, I can be on the committee, we'll point somebody else, where we have 1 week where we go, okay, let's just fit some teams in here to make this more, because the reason I bring it up, Clemson does not play anybody the rest of the way. They only played Texas A&M. They have nobody the rest of the way ranked in the top 25. And this week they get Charlotte. This is going to be, I mean, and I bring this up too. You realize there's only one quarterback playing college football in the FBS level that has thrown more interceptions than Trevor Lawrence this year? Only one. He already has five interceptions. Only one quarterback in the nation has thrown more. He only threw four the entire season last year. I think this schedule for Clemson is going to be the thing that hurts them the most, because I don't think they get better with this schedule. While all these other teams, they may get banged up, but they're improving week in and week out when they've got this great competition.
Okay, now there's two things to unpack here. I agree. Clemson is not going to have many chances to improve and be battle-tested. But non-conference-wise, Johnny, they have a much better slate than Texas A&M because they at least, than Alabama, because they at least play Texas A&M. Alabama played Duke, New Mexico State, and tomorrow they play Southern Miss. It's not Clemson's fault that it has suffocated the rest of the ACC out of contention. So I feel like that's important in this discussion. Like, yes, Clemson's schedule is cake, but they at least play two SEC teams. And, you know, maybe one day for Clemson to wake up and Florida State's good again and Miami's good again and Virginia Tech's good again. Until then, I think, actually, the EC schedule might be good because Trevor Lawrence has been forcing things just a little bit, and I think a decrease in competition is going to allow him to get back on track. We're not even going to notice it, but for the next month, they're going to play some bad teams, and Trevor's going to have four touchdowns, three touchdowns, five touchdowns. No interceptions is his hope. I think by the time – you know, push comes to shove, by the time it comes to November, Trevor Lawrence's stat ratio looks a lot better. He's a lot more comfortable. And I think it might help him to be out of the spotlight because it's clear, I've watched all three of their games this year, it's clear every single time he's making the throw, he's trying to be the same guy who took down Alabama in January. He's trying to live up to that standard, which is a really, really high standard because he looked like one of the best quarterbacks ever that night. So I think if he can just kind of fly under the radar a little bit, he'll start to get his groove by the time the conference race and the playoff push comes into effect.
I will say this. When Bobby Bowden was at Florida State, when they joined the ACC, it raised the bar for all the other teams in the ACC. So, you know, I don't think it's Clemson demoralizing the rest. That's just one game, right? I mean, Alabama, despite their dominance with their five national championships since 2009, does that mean Alabama is the only good football team in the SEC? Absolutely not. When you've got how many teams this week? Oh, five. From the SEC, ranked in the top nine in the country. So, nice try. Totally disagree with you on that one. And Alabama will have their chances to be challenged with A&M in the month of October, and they get LSU, Mississippi State, and Auburn in the month of November. So, this to me is a disgrace to the ACC for them to be in this position in the first place.
But I get what you're saying. It's not Clemson's. I don't know if it's Clemson's fault. And hey, for Alabama, Georgia's just now kind of becoming the Georgia they should be. LSU's just now becoming LSU. I mean, it hasn't been. The SEC is for sure the best conference in college football. But you know, let's see. Let's give maybe the ACC turns it up a notch in a year or two. Until then, Clemson's going to keep coasting.